5. I told Brother Ernie, Brother Nance, we were cleaning up Friday night, getting ready to leave, and sweeping the floor down at Fellowship Hall, and I looked over Brother Ernie. I said, Brother Ernie, what am I going to preach on Sunday? I mean, my goodness. I just heard tremendous. Not that there's not enough in there, but my goodness, what great messages were given to us this week. And I was just amazed how God sent those men here to be so kind to us. Well, let me back up. I'm surprised God sent them men to bring a message to be so kind to me. What? I'm just amazed they didn't just tear me up the whole week. I deserve it. But he just kept dumping honey and dumping honey and dumping honey. I mean, man, I about got a sugar overdose. And I want to do well. I want to run well. Not so somebody can say, well, he run well. But because he's worthy.
Amen.
He's worthy. If you have your Bibles, it's all stand. Genesis chapter 5. I want to read one verse and let you be seated. Begin to study just a little bit about this. Read some things. And I just want to bring this message today. Look at verse chapter 5. Look at verse number 24. Very well known verse. Look at it with me. It says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I want to preach on the day Enoch had an exit plan. Enoch had an exit plan. Amen. And let me read that verse one more time, if you don't mind. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Amen. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Dear Father, thank you for all the things you've done for us this day. Lord, I thank you for salvation and grace and your kindness upon our lives. Lord, I pray now that you'd open up my heart and our thoughts today to you, your word. Let it be real and revealed to us. Lord, I pray that you would open up the feeble lips of this preacher this morning and let us be a vessel of honor to be used of you. Lord, I pray you'd open up the hearers here that what's being said can be understood plainly. And clearly, Lord, the message being out might do the work that needs to be done today. Lord, I thank you for all that you've done. You know what we have yet to do today, tomorrow, and the next weeks to come. But, Lord, right now, we need your help today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You be seated. Enoch had an exit plan. I don't know about you. I had to pray for him. I do turn the TV on sometimes, like you do, and I was watching. You watch these commercials. You know, Geico can save you $530-something over anybody else, and then the next one comes on and says they can save you $500-something over what Geico can do. And then the next insurance company comes on and says they can save you another $400-something. I said, you know what? If I just go around to each one of them, I'd get me insurance for free. Because according to them, they can all save you that much every year. And I'm like, you know, if I add a couple of them up, that's more than I'm paying in insurance. If I just keep adding them up enough, somebody's wrong somewhere. Amen. Somebody's wrong somewhere. There ain't no way. But so, you know, somebody's lying about that insurance plan. Amen. Would you agree? By the way, I've called some of them. They ain't saved me nothing. Amen. I don't know about you, but they tried to make mine go up. And I'm like, that ain't right. And so, you know, there's a lot out there that has insurance plan, but I'm glad God has an assurance plan. And Enoch had an exit plan. He had an exit plan in his life. I want you to look at the first part of this chapter, chapter number 5. I want to look at verse number 1, and you just stay there right there with me in Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. Enoch had an exit plan. First of all, I want to look at the family of Enoch. The Bible says in verse 1, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. He actually called both Adam. Did you get that? And so he created them together. God created both of them there. And he took Eve out of Adam's rib, out of side, took that rib, and created Eve. Somebody said one time that all men have one less rib. No. That's not true. Only Adam had one less rib. God created Eve, and from then it's been by birth.
Amen.
You wish somebody would study sometimes, amen. I actually heard a preacher say that one time. I said, you didn't take physiology at all. You didn't take any kind of school at amen, because that's not true. But he only took it, and then he made Eve for Adam, amen. I'm glad God does that. Notice the intentions in verse number 1 and 2. The Bible says that these are the generation of Adam. It says that God created man In the likeness of God made he him. Isn't it amazing that we're created in his image? We'll see. You say, what do you mean? Well, preacher, many times you'll study the Bible, you'll talk about the hand of God. We'll hear about the eye of God. We'll hear about the clouds are the dust of his feet. And we'll find out the strong arm of God, the shoulders of God. We study throughout the Bible, and yet we know that the Bible says he is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And yet we know the attributes of God are created man. Man is formed in the image of God. Isn't that amazing? And he made us, the intentions of God was to make a being that would worship him. And I'm not going to try to rehatch what was preached this week, but he made us in the fact that we should worship him. And he made us there at the time we were created innocent. And he put us in a garden, and all he asked us to be was obedient. Amen. That's all God asked, is to be obedient. Guess what? God's still asking that. Here we are over 6,000 years later, he's still asking people to be obedient. And man doesn't want to be obedient. He wants to be rebellious. He wants to do his own thing. He wants to do other things than what God wants him to do. And just don't want to be obedient. So the intentions of God were that man be obedient, and that he'd have fellowship with him, and that he'd be with him in that place. Now look at verse number 3. In verse 1 and 2, we see the intentions of God, what God intended. But in verse number 3 and 4, we see the inventions of man. Look what it says. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness. Did you get that? In his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. Now, is that important? It is, because Cain has slain Abel, and Cain's been cast out. He's a cast out. He's got a sin mark on him. And so he's out. And the Bible says, in the days of Adam, after he begotten Seth, were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And so we see the invention of the man, that now man is having children, and he's having them children not in the image of God, but it says after his own image. What is that? What image is that? It's the image of a sinner. Right. Amen. God didn't create us in the image of sin. He created in the image of himself. Amen. But man invented, not created, man invented sin. We begin to sin. We begin to disobey God. We begin to go in that direction. And now what we invent, not create, is sinners. Amen? Now what's the effect of that? Now what is it recorded? There's a lot of things not recorded in this passage. In this passage, is not recorded in this passage, Adam's lack of leadership, and yet we know he didn't lead right. Amen? It's not recorded in this passage, Eve's lust, and yet we know that Eve lusted. It's not recorded in this passage that Cain had a lewd act of taking his own brother and slaying his own brother that he might get what he wanted in his pride. But we know that it happened. But what is in this passage is the effect of what was done. You got your Bibles open? Look at verse 5. The Bible says, and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. Man, 930 years. You know what the Bible says? And he died. Why did he die? Sin. Look at verse number 8. And all the days of Seth were 912 years. And he died. Look at verse 11. And all the days of Enos were 905 years. And he died. Verse 14. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years. And he died. Verse 17, and all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. And all the, verse 20, and all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. They lived a long time, but not one of them continues to live this day on this earth. Why? Because sin. Sin, because of sin, every man, died. The Bible says, is appointed a man wants to die. Amen? Wants to die. All of us are going to die. I'm going to die, and you're going to die. You say, well, if I go by the rapture, I won't die. You're going to peel out of this flesh. Right. You're not taking this to heaven. Right. And if you peel out of this flesh, it's going to die because it has to have a soul in it to live. Right. Amen. The Bible says that God breathed in man, he became a living soul. Amen. Yes, and we're not going to take this old flesh to heaven. Thank God for that. Amen. I wouldn't want to walk on the streets of gold with this. Amen. I'd want to have something that I could go before the throne and not be ashamed of. And I could not approach the throne in this.
Right. Amen.
Amen. So every one of us here under the sound of my voice are going to die. Amen. Would you agree with that? Would everybody here agree with me on that? We are going. You know, everybody has died I've ever known. And everybody I ever know is going to die. I'm getting 46 years old, and I'm telling you, when I was 20, I didn't think as much about it, but I thought about it. But I'm 46 years old, and I'm thinking, you know what? I'm getting on down the road. I've passed probably the 50% point. And whether we want a minute or not, we're on the other side of that thing. I'm pushing towards the other side. I'm not on top of the hill no more. I'm going down the hill. Amen. You get thinking about that more and more and more as you go down the road. You get thinking about, hey, this life, I'm immortal. I'm not immortal. I'm immortal in this life. I'm going to die. Enoch had an exit plan. Why did Enoch have an exit plan? Look at this scripture with me this morning. Genesis chapter 5. Look down now in verse number 21. We finished with 20 with Jared. Look at verse number 21. The Bible says that Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Now Methuselah is the oldest recorded man as far as life lived. Methuselah lived longer than any other man ever recorded. But the Bible says after he did that, the Bible says in the next verse, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Now, before we go on, look at this. The Bible says that here is Enoch. He's just going on. He's been born. And the Bible says he lived 65 years, and it does not mention anything about God in his life. In fact, if you'll read the previous about his father and his grandfather and his great-grandfather like that, you don't hear much about God in their lives either. You hear they lived, they begat sons and daughters, and they died. Amen? And here is Enoch, he's going along, and he's lived 65 years. And at 65 years, he has a child, he begets a child, and names him Methuselah. And the name of Methuselah has two group meanings. The first word, it means the man of the dart. In other words, when you take this dart and you throw it at something, he's a man of the dart. He's aiming towards something. There's something about his life that is aiming to something. And the other part of his name, if you put it together, has the meaning of when he is gone, it will come. In other words, when you throw that dart, when it makes contact, when he dies, it will come. Do you know if you do a time study from the time Methuselah lives to Methuselah dies, do you know what year? Do you know the year that he died? He died the same year the flood came. Methuselah did not make the ark. Methuselah died in the year the ark was when the floods came. And so it talks about that the judgment of God is coming. And when Methuselah dies, he's the man of the dart. When Methuselah dies, judgment is coming. Here's the amazing thing about this. You'll find out that Adam named Seth. But it says that Enoch begat Methuselah. It didn't say he picked a name for him. He said that was his name. I don't know who named him. And you'll find out other ones. They begat. But when it came to Methuselah, God said he's going to be called Methuselah. He's the man of the dart. When his life is over, judgment's coming. I want you to think about that. Here you are, Enoch, walking around with a son that when he dies, judgment's coming. I bet you every time Enoch got a sniffle, every time Methuselah got a sniffle, old Enoch would go, "Are you all right?" Because he knew when Methuselah died, judgment was coming. I tell you what to get you wanting an exit plan is when you know judgment is coming.
Amen.
The Bible says he lived 65 years, no mention of God. He has a child that says, God says, hey, his name is Methuselah. It's recorded. When he dies, he's the man of the dart. Judgment is going to come. When you realize that judgment's coming, you'll look for an exit plan. I know I did. When I realized I was under the judgment of Almighty God, I'm not talking about comparing myself with this person or comparing myself with that person or living good as that person or going to church as good as that person over there. But I'm talking about when I realize there's a great God of heaven that is the judge of judges, the king of kings, the Lord of lords, and he's holy, and he says, be ye holy for I am holy, and I know that I wasn't holy. I knew I was under judgment.
Amen.
I didn't know if I'd live today, tomorrow, next day, still don't. But I didn't know this, if judgment fell, it wouldn't be good for Terry. You hear what I'm saying? If judgment fell, it would not be good for Terry. I knew that I was under judgment. So we see the family of Enoch. So now let's follow the footsteps of Enoch. The Bible says, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Step number one, he planned to leave this world saved. If you understand you're under judgment, anybody want to get under? How many like getting spankings when you're as children? I mean, you know, you go to mom, hey, mom, I had a spank at least 2 hours. No, you weren't like that. You fled from it as much as you could. It is a natural thing not to want to be judged. This crowd that writes those songs, I don't want to go to heaven if it's not like honky-tonk and things like that. And they'll talk about, I want, when I get to hell, I'll just be with my friends. There won't be no fellowship over in that place. It's a place of fire and judgment. It's a place of demons and devils. The Bible says that it wasn't even created for man. It was created for the devils and his angels. It was created for beings that are eternal. Not human. And the judgment of hell was upon them first. It is prepared for them. And then us as a little weak humanity. Because of sin and judgment, we are faced with the same judgment as those great beings of those angels. Because they rebelled against God and we rebelled against God, and God prepared one place for rebellion. It's called hell. You say, preacher, what do you say? I said, number one, step one, he planned to leave this world saved. Number one, you need to, listen, we need to plan to leave this world saved.
Amen.
Amen. We need to make sure that there's no way we can go to hell.
Amen.
Now, the big thing about that is I can't do a thing to keep myself out of hell. So I'm going to need somebody. And thanks be to God, God has a plan. You say, preacher, what was Enoch's plan? Number one, it was whatever God's plan was. Step one, he planned not to leave this world without being saved. The Bible says over in 2 Corinthians 5:11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. People say, well, I don't think you ought to preach about hell. Therefore, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, knowing that hell is real and judgment is real and that it is coming to somebody's life one day. We must persuade men that it's real.
Amen.
If we know the terror of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Number one, the terror of the Lord ought to get the message out. But not only the terror of the Lord, but the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:4, it says, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judged me is the Lord. In Titus chapter 3 verse 5 said, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. In verse 6, which he shed upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
Amen.
You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying, how are you going to take that first step The first step is a plan to leave this world saved. You must have faith in someone that has the ability to save you. And we cannot justify ourselves. God will have to justify us. God will have to make us. I like what someone said about justification. It's just as if I'd never sinned. That's not whether or not you've sinned. We have. I've sinned. I said, preacher, you're a preacher and you've sinned. Yes. I wouldn't be fit for a preacher if I couldn't admit that. We've all, the Bible says, all have sinned and came short of the glory of God. The Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. Amen. That's that old leper's rags. That you peel it off and all the scum and the thing off the body. That's the best we can give God. That's our best. Someone says, well, I'll join the church. That's filthy in God's sight. I'll get baptized. That's filthy in God's sight if that's our best righteousness. In fact, the Bible says unless our righteousness it goes beyond the righteousness of the Pharisees. And you know what their righteousness were? Man, they kept every little thing. They paid tithe on their salt. 10% of their salt they give in. If it's works that do it, the Pharisee would have got in. It's never been works. It's never been works. It's never been good enough. It's never paying enough. It's never bowing enough. It's never washing enough. It's never giving enough. It's never changing clothes enough. It's never giving to an organization enough. It's never liking the preacher enough. All that will not get you in. And all that will not get me in. I must find someone who has the ability to make me as if I never sinned, to justify me. Who can do that? Only Christ can do that. Number one, the step of the plan. His first step was to step one, he planned to leave this world saved. Step two, he planned to leave this world steadfast. Look at verse 22. The Bible says in verse 22, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. Did you realize? After he begat Methuselah. 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And the Bible says the whole time in that family, he walked with God. Verse 23. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And the Bible says he walked with God. From that moment on, he walked with God. And the book of Amos tells us this, can two walk together except they be agreed? You can't walk with God and be in disagreement with God. Amen. One of the first agreements I ever got with God was I'm a sinner. I agreed with God. The second agreement I have with God is I need a Savior. The third agreement I have with God is Jesus is the Savior. The fourth agreement I come up with God is He said if I'd call on Him, He'd save me. So I called on Him. I agreed. And the fifth agreement, He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I agree with Him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But you can't be in agreement with God if you're not walking with Him. You can't walk with God if you're not agreeing with Him. No, ask you this. Have you ever seen yourself a sinner? The Bible said that God, the law makes sin exceedingly sinful. In other words, the law puts a high, high position that we can't reach to. It'd be like being a pool of 50 foot of water with a chain and weight around your ankles. And you know there's air up there, but there is no possible way of reaching it.
Right.
And people drown trying to live good enough.
Yeah.
He said, preacher, don't you think we ought to live good enough? Yeah. After you agree with God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But you're going to have to come and place agreement with God first.
Yes, sir.
He planned to leave this world steadfast. And Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I get to heaven, I'm going to live holy. No, we need to live holy today. Today is the day we're going to live holy. We'll be holy when we get there, but today we're to live holy. Amen? Now, boy, that's going to take something, isn't it? That's going to take some grace. Look, I want to read this. His walk in this step two was he planned to leave this world steadfast. He wanted a steadfast in his walk. 1 John 2:6, and he that saith he abideth in him ought to walk also, ought himself also to walk even as he walked. If you say that you abide in him and Jesus walked a certain way, we ought to walk that way. Does that make sense? I mean, you know, I mean, if I'm pulling for this team, if the team I'm pulling for is red, and I say I'm with the red team, but I'm always sitting in the stands of blues, after a while somebody'd say, I don't think he's with us. Does that make sense? I mean, if you're with the red team, you ought to dress like the red team. The way the red team dresses. When the red team cheers, you ought to cheer with the red team. Well, it'd be silly for me to dress like the blue team, sit on the blue team's side, and say, I'm with the red team. When the blue team gets a touchdown, I go, woo! Well, preacher, you know, you're just excited for everybody. I'm not excited when the world wins. You don't decide which side we're on. And if you're on that side, dress like that side and sit with that side and cheer with that side and be with that side. Because that's the side he's on. And as he walked, we ought to walk. After he goes, as he talked, we ought to talk. Does that make sense? Is this too fundamentally easy for us to understand where we ought to be? Enoch decided he's going to leave this world, and when he left this world, he wanted to have a plan, and he had an exit plan, and he wanted to leave this world saved, and he wanted to leave this world steadfast.
Amen.
Not only should we have a steadfast walk, but we all have a steadfast will. Psalms 26:11, the psalmist says, but as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful to me. I will walk. I have decided, the songwriter says, I have decided to follow Jesus. Amen. To say you walk in front of Jesus is presumption. Is arrogance. To get ahead of Jesus is arrogance. To follow behind him is obedience. To walk beside him is fellowship. Step 3. Footsteps of Enoch. Step 1, he planned to leave this world saved. Number 2, step 2, he planned to leave this world steadfast. Step 3, he planned to leave this world suddenly. Oh yeah, look at verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You say, preacher, he couldn't plan on that. Well, he may not. He may have been surprised how it happened. And he might have been surprised when it happened. But he was never surprised that it happened. Step three, if we're going to leave this, we're going to have a plan. We ought to understand that we're going to leave this world suddenly. I plan on leaving this world suddenly. Come up hither. And if I know that I'm going to leave here suddenly, I need to leave here saved.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And if I know that I'm going to leave here suddenly, I need to leave here steadfast. And then when he says, suddenly come home, I'm just ready. I just won't ever pick that last fourth step up. I'll just step right on the glory. If you plan on leaving suddenly, you got to plan on leaving saved. And you got to you ought to be planning on being steadfast. Because we don't ever know when it's coming. It might surprise us the how. It might surprise us the when. But it should never surprise us that. Amen. God took him. He was not. God took him. Where's Enoch at? Oh no, he's just gone. That's what they're going to say about me one day. He's just gone. Elijah had the same thing. The old fiery chariot come in. Elisha was there with him. Swap him up, amen. Took him out there. Took him up to heaven, that fiery chariot. Elisha was about to sight himself. Grabbed that mantle that had been thrown onto him, that mantle of responsibility. Went down to that river and smote those waters. Said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? The Bible says the part of waters parted hither and thither. Walked over in dry ground. The Bible then says that those sons of the prophets came out to him and said, hey, where's Elijah at? You won't find him. And the Bible said they shamed him into letting them go. You got to let us find him. He said, go. They went over the hilltops and over the mountaintops and over the, you know, because that old whirlwind, all they saw the whirlwind. That old tornado come in and picked up Elijah, and we're going to have to find his body because, you know, we got to bury Elijah. He said, go on, you're not going to find him. The Bible said they hunted all over that and come back and said, we found him. He said, did I not tell you? How did Elisha do that? Because he seen the chariots taken up. Amen. You know what? Elijah had an exit plan too. Amen. Elijah had an exit plan. Enoch had an exit plan. He planned to leave this world. His footsteps of Enoch were, he planned to leave this world saved, steadfast, and suddenly. But you know what? Enoch's in the New Testament. Take your Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. That gray hall of faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 5. By faith, Hebrews chapter 5. It's Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Give everybody plenty of time to get there. I want you to get this. I'm going to turn to two verses here and we'll be done. But I want you to get this today. Enoch had an exit plan. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Now I'm going to stop there. That word to see means is the word edo, and it means to behold, to be aware, to know. The Bible says that he was translated that he should not see death. In other words, he never knew what death was like. He never knew it. You say, well, the Bible says this appointed man wants to die. That's right. You say, preacher, what about our loved ones that are saved? They go to the grave, and here's what I believe. I don't believe they ever see death. I didn't say they never experienced death. I say they never saw it. You say, what do you mean by that? Let me share it with you. In 1 Corinthians 15:54, it says, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, it's talking about dying, going on to glory, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. The sting of death is sin. Brother Freeman, if we're saved, if we should go by the sod before the shaft, I will never know what death is in its totality. I may know what it is to give it up this body, but I will never know what it is to go to hell. Amen. I will never see what death is really. Pretty good, isn't that, Brother Nance? A saved person never has to really know. Let me explain that to you. The Bible says that when a person in the Bible, when they had the right relationship, when they had a relationship, a man said he knew his wife. Now, when his wrong relationship said he laid with them, things like that. But when there's a right relationship to a husband, now listen, it said he knew his wife. And that means he knew her intimately. Okay? They knew each other. The two became one. Does that make sense? The Bible says in the book of Revelations, he says, I have the keys of death and hell. Amen. Right? So what God then, what God's going to do is we'll have to pass, the person that's saved will have to pass by the door of death, but we'll never have to go down and sit down and eat with them.
Amen.
We don't have to We don't have to develop a relationship with death. That's the reason, I mean, I want flowers on mom and dad's grave out of respect for them. Well, that's the reason I don't go down and sit for hours at a time. I don't have a relationship with the sod. I got a relationship with God. And I know they're over there.
Yes, sir.
And I can just pass on through. And I may have to pass by the door. I'm going to pass by the door. It's the point a man wants to die. But I don't have to go in and have supper with him. Does that make sense to y'all?
Amen. Yes, sir.
I didn't have that, no note. I just thought I'd share that with you. I'm glad that God has the ability to break the relationship of man with death. The Bible says we're all our lives under the bondage of the fear of death. Number one, the faith of Enoch allowed the sting to be gone. Number two, the faith of Enoch allowed the search to be over. The Bible says it was not found because God translated him. Number three, the faith of Enoch allowed the satisfaction to be complete. The Bible says, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. In Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible, right there, right below what you just read. Look at verse 6. But without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek them. The Bible says today we walk by faith, but one of these days our faith will become sight.
Amen.
You say, preacher, what did you do? Enoch had an exit plan. Enoch had faith in God. And you know what else Enoch had? Take your Bible and turn just a few books over. If you get to the book of Revelation, back up one book to the book of Jude. All the way back to the back there, right before you get to Revelation, look at the book of Jude. A little short book. You'll probably hit Revelation at the backup page. Little short book, got a mouthful in it. Look at Jude chapter 1, that's all there is. Look at verse number 14. And Enoch also, take your time, I want everybody there. I want everybody to get this verse. If you don't get anything else, y'all get this verse. Jude 1, verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. Now, why did God, in this little short book, want us to understand the lineage of Enoch? Because if you turn back, and you don't need to, you'll find out there was more than one Enoch in the Bible. In fact, there was more than one Enoch in the book of Genesis. The Bible says in chapter 4, verse 17, Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. You know what Cain gave his son? He gave him a city. The Bible says in Mark 8:36, for what shall man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? As far as we know, that Enoch didn't make the ark. In fact, we know he didn't, don't we? Everybody hearing the sound of my voice knows that Cain's Enoch did not make the ark. We know he didn't. Two men by the same name. One has covenant promise and one does not. One's got a city, one's got a promise. Well, in fact, both have a city, one's got a promise. Whew, hold my horse. Both have a city. One's a city on earth, one's a city of heaven.
Amen.
One has only a promise of this life, the other has a promise of the next life.
Yes.
If our hope in Christ was only in this world, of this world only, we'd be of all men most miserable. Amen. I'm glad that I got more than this life to look forward to. Amen. Said Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, he was identified, prophesied of these saying, notice that he's prophesying, he's just not walking with the Lord. The Bible said he prophesied. Look on with me. What did he prophesy? Behold, the Lord cometh. Enoch said, I've got an exit plan. And all of you need to have an exit plan too. Behold, the Lord cometh. And then he said, I'm going to tell you not only the prophecy, what I'm prophesying, I'm going to tell you about being justified. He says, with 10,000s of his saints. He said, Lord's coming back. When he comes back, he's going to bring 10,000s of his saints. That number in the Bible is a number that means it's innumerable. It's talking about a number that's innumerable. 10,000s. We don't have an end to it. It doesn't say 10,000 and 10,000s. There's an innumerable number of saints going to come back with the Lord. He said, God's going to be glorified. I'm prophesying. I'm identified. I'm prophesied. He's going to be glorified. Amen. And I'm going to be justified.
Thank you, Lord.
10,000s of saints. You know what Enoch did? Enoch had an exit plan. You know what Enoch did? Enoch shared that exit plan before he left. I'll ask you this question this morning. What's your exit plan? How do you plan on leaving this life? Well, preacher, how many times have I heard this? He's a pretty good old fella. You know, all their pain is over with now. I've had people stand there and tell me that, and to this day I don't go, yeah. The best thing I've ever done, I say, well, they're not hurting in this body anymore. That's the best thing I've ever come up with when I knew that I was lost or pretty sure of it. Spirit didn't give me any leadership. You know, it's amazing. Everybody dies. Everybody goes to heaven. At least everybody in their family wants them to go. Everybody wants you to tell them it's all right. Live for the devil and the devil's crowd all your life, and when you cross over, everything's all right. You better have a better exit plan than that.
Amen.
You better have a better exit plan than that. You say, well, I got plenty of time. Enoch knew he's leaving. That didn't surprise him. But it did surprise him when. He was not. And he didn't walk with the Lord. And was not. And we've heard all kinds of stories. And well, the Lord said it's closer to my... All that sounds good. The Bible just says he was not. Ain't none of us ever seen a was not before. Ain't none of us ever experienced a was not. Don't tell me he wasn't surprised. He is surprised. The Lord didn't say we're going to make you a was not today. He just was not. And that's the way death or the rapture is going to take us. We're going to be, and then we're going to not be. If all your plan is, well, I'll work it out later. What if you're in the middle of your work and you're out? You become a not be.
Yes.
I had a person tell me one time I was dealing with them about getting saved. And Brother Freddie, you know what he told me? He says, well, I said, what if the Lord come back? What do you do? He said, well, I'd fall down on my knees and get saved, which I thought was so silly. Why don't you fall down on your knees now?
Right.
He said, well, I'd fall down on my knees and get saved. I said, no, you won't. And he looked at me like, how dare you tell me that? How arrogant you are to tell me I won't do that. I said, let me show you how I know that. I said, look at me. Looked him in the eyes, and the older man, I looked in the eyes, and said, watch me now. I said, I want you to blink your eyes. He said, what? I said, I want you to blink your eyes. And he done like that. I said, by the time your eyes begin to crack back open, I'll be gone.
Amen.
The Bible says, in a twinkling of an eye, I'll be a be-not. You won't have time in that amount of time to even think about where I was. It'll take you a good 30 seconds to dawn on that I'm gone. The other saints of God are gone. By the time you figure that out, we'll already be shouting the victory.
Amen.
Over yonder.
Yes, sir.
And listen to this. I don't know when it's coming. I'm sure it'll be a surprise when it comes. Because no man knows the day or the hour. But it won't surprise me that it come. I want to ask you this question today. What's your exit plan? What's your exit plan? The only plan that'll work is God's plan. What's God's plan? For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, should not die, should not know death. You might experience death, but should not perish. You understand? Should not perish. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have, that's present, have everlasting life. That's not work salvation. That's gift salvation. That's called grace. You know what grace is? It's when God gives us what we do not deserve. You know what mercy is? It's when God does not give us what we do deserve. I want to ask you this question, under the sound of my voice here today, on this Sunday morning. Do you have a good exit plan? I want my wife or one of the pianists to come play something softly. Brother Ernie, why don't you get a song with her if you will? While they come and listen while we sing. While we sing, I want you to stand. I tell you, Brother Ernie, I want you to just sing the song yourself and let so everybody won't even have to look up song pages or nothing. You just sing the song. Let's all stand this morning. I can't think of any better day. Listen, I can't think of any better day if you don't have an exit plan then you ought to come know Jesus this morning. I'm not talking about knowing of him. I'm not talking about joining the church. I'm not talking about giving you money. I don't want your money. I'm not talking about any of those things. I don't care about your money. Listen, I love you. I love people to be part of the church, be a member of this church. I'm not even talking about church membership. You say, well, you're a Baptist. You're talking about baptism. I'm not talking about baptism. I'm talking about, do you have an exit plan like Enoch? Are you saved today? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Is he your Savior? Let me describe this to you for Brother Ernie plays, for Brother Ernie sings while she plays. Let's say I have a great gift here that Brother Freddie could never afford. Freddie, you couldn't buy it. You could work the rest of your life, you could never afford this. Let's say I got a gift that's great. It's just that great. And here's the thing, not only is it more than you can afford, it's everything you need. And you need it awfully bad. You need it awfully bad. And here it is now. Isn't that a shame? Here's everything you need. And there's no way you can afford it. And then the king comes in. And he says, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you everything you need. And I'll purchase and give it to you. But there's one thing that Brother Freddie's going to do. What is it? Take it. That's salvation. It's everything we need and nothing we can afford. And the great God of heaven bought it and holds it out and says, if you just take it, you can have it. But he won't force it on you. If you don't want to take it, you can go on and you can get all to know about death. You can work a relationship up with death. And you can spend the rest of eternity with death. But Enoch had an exit plan. He was translated that he not know death, not see it. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I want Brother Ernie to sing. While he's singing, maybe this morning you say, preacher, I'd like to have that gift. Now, I can't give it to you.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender.
Jesus said, you just take my word.
To him
you believe what I did.
Freely
you'll say, I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. God
will ever
if you need him this morning, I want you to step out right now. Let me share
him in his presence daily live. I surrender.
Oh,
to thee, my blessed Savior, I
or something you're holding on to?
Oh,
some
to
way
Jesus
of life? Some hope of riches? Some friend that would keep you from being saved? Well, preacher, they won't understand.
I bow.
I'll tell you right now, when we get to heaven, it won't matter what they understood.
Forsaken,
no matter what you and the Lord understood.
Take me, Jesus.
By the way, I never had a friend like I had a friend like you.
Now.
And I've never had friends like God brought in my life since I've been saved. And I'm telling you right now, you need to have an exit plan. You need to have an exit plan. How are you going to get out of here? How are you going to get out of this one?
My Savior, I surrender.
God loves you so much.
Oh,
God commended His love, showed His love
to Jesus.
God commended His love to us.
I surrender. Make me Savior.
I wonder if there's one ever sound my voice, the preacher.
Thine.
I'm not saying that's your life. If anyone just raise up as a preacher, I won't come for you. I won't embarrass you. I won't even count. I wonder how many raise your hands and say that.
Know that thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender all.
What did it take?
Oh, to thee.
Oh, what you're saying.
Blessed Savior.
So much better.
I surrender.
Go home, lay your head on your pillow tonight. Know everything's
all right
between you and
the
Lord.
Oh, to Jesus,
everything's
all right. I
surrender. You'd die right now if God would say, that's the last breath right there.
Lord, I give myself to thee.
Where would you spend eternity? Right now.
Fill me with thy love and power.
Right now.
Let
death will be at your
doorstep
right now.
Fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Sing it, would you play one verse? The night I got saved, I said, they'll play one more verse, I'll come. Just wondering if someone understand my voice. Said, it's almost over. Oh, my heart's about to beat out of my chest. If I can just get out of here, everything will be all right. This song's for you. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I don't know that you'll get up. And I don't know that I'll get up. I don't know the rapture won't happen between now and tonight's service. I don't know. I don't know. But if you got an exit plan, everything will be all right. At least if you got one like Enoch had. Do you have one like he had? Is your faith in something else, some religion, some things you did, or is your faith in Jesus? Brother Freddie, I'd like you to dismiss this morning.